Tonight's shiur in Parshas Maaseh. The Sedra begins, Eila Maaseh b'nei Yisrael, Asher yatsu meretz Mitzrayim, v'chule. These are the journeys of b'nei Yisrael when they went out of Mitzrayim. The Ben Ishchai asks, why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu deem it necessary to take Klal Yisrael through so many encampments? They encamped 42 places. Right, from place to place to place. So why couldn't Kadosh Baruch Hu just, you know, bring them all, stay in one place, two places? Why have taken them to so many places, matriach them so much? So he answers based on the Gemara in Brachas. Gemara says in Dafei Amud Aleph, Tanya, Rishimin Bar Yochai Omer, Shlosh Matanas Tovos Nasana Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, V'kulon Lo Nisnan Ela Al Yidei Yisurin, Elu Hein, Torah Eretz Yisrael V'Olam Haba. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, gave Bnei Yisrael three very nice gifts, matanos tovos. But they're all given only through Yisurin. And what are they? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. These are three wonderful gifts. However, you have to go through Yisurin in order to acquire them. And therefore, the Bnei Yisrael, they were traveling through the desert, the goal being to reach eventually Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, like we said, in order to, one of the three things, the Matanos Tovos is Eretz Yisrael. To achieve Eretz Yisrael, you have to go through Yisurin. Therefore, that's why they have to travel all these 42 places in order to go through these Yisurin before they reach Eretz Yisrael. However, he asks, why is that the case though? Why, of course, Baruch Hu wants to give a nice gift. So just give a gift. What, you want to give a gift already, so why the Yisurin? Just give the gift. So he explains that it's in order to test the person or people to see if they're worthy of receiving the gift. He gives an example. Let's take Torah, for example. Okay, a person is sitting here learning Torah. So there's two possibilities, right? It could be he's learning just in order to amass knowledge. He knows the Torah is a wonderful chokhmah, the greatest chokhmah that there is on earth. And he would like to have a part of this chokhmah, but strictly for intellectual reasons. Like Lavdu, like a university professor, or whatever, learning Talmud, whatever. So if it's interesting, or like the Koreans, you know, they want to teach the children Talmud, you know, so because they know the Jews are very smart, etc. This is strictly for knowledge. However, could be no, the person's learning because L'shem Shemayim is learning because it's a tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem wants us to learn. So, nothing to do, and not, you know, for any personal reasons. So, how do we know, what's the test we can see that what is the real reason behind his learning? So, the answer is, way to test the person is through Yisurin. Right? A person that's learning because he just wants to learn for the, you know, knowledge. Then, as soon as things get a little bit difficult, he says, what do I need this for? Right? I want to amass knowledge, not to go through all of this. However, a person is doing it, L'shem Shemayim, is doing it for the, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, so then it doesn't matter, whatever Yisurin or no Yisurin, I have to do this because this is a Tzivui Hashem. So the Mifchan, the test to see the real drive behind the person, is how he's going to react with these three. So Mele, as we said, therefore, Torah is one of this is a gift. But to see, to test a person whether he deserves the Torah, to acquire the Torah, Hashem has to give him some Yisurin to see what's his reaction going to be. If he sticks with it, it's a Siman as L'Shem Shemayim, deserves the Torah. If not. Mele explains so too with Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's another one of the gifts. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Klal Yisrael the Eretz Yisrael. However, who knows what's the real reason why they want Eretz Yisrael? It could be lechol mipiril mitzvah mituva, right? They just want to eat the fruit, enjoy whatever. They're doing it for gashmistic reasons. So that for such people don't deserve Eretz Yisrael. However, if they're doing because they want to amass more mitzvahs tluyas ba'aretz, etc., so then it's a whole different story. So how do we know what the purpose is? Yisrael. Person receives the Yisurin, then we see, right? If, even so, he's still, sticking with it, he still wants to go into Israel despite the Yisurin, that's a sign, it's a shame Shemayim. He throws in the towel, it's a sign, he just wants it for the Gashmi. Mele, same thing over here. Right? That's why Hashem is testing Klal Yisrael, brought them through these 42 Masaos to see what their reaction was going to be. Right? If it's going to be, who needs this? And that shows that this one of theirs is Israel for the fruit. It's difficult. Who needs it? However, Klal Yisrael, as we see, they stuck with it. They went through all the journeys, and no matter how difficult it was, so that's a sign that they're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. They do it in order to amass more mitzvahs, to do Ratzon Hashem, and not there for personal purposes. Okay. Also, another question is asked over here. Why did the Torah feel it necessary to write, all tell us of all these journeys? They went from this place to that place. They mentioned all the 42 places. Why do you have to go into such great detail? You could say that they traveled to 42 places. Why do you have to go through and mention every single one? In this place, in that place, in this place, in that place. The beginning of Parshas Maaseh. So the Sabba Mikelm said that we see here that the Torah is teaching us the difference between Gashmias, stick of pleasures, and Ruchnias. Meaning, when it comes to Gashmias, you have your goal, the thing that you're going towards, and the means are not so important. The important thing, you can go through all the means, but you don't get to the end, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. However, when it comes to Ruchnias, that's not the case. Right? A person can work hard, learn up a Tosos, whatever it might be, and in the end, not come to the final conclusion. But it's not like, okay, there, it was worthless, whatever he did. No, when it comes to Ruchnias, all the preparation, everything put towards it, in and itself, is just part of the mitzvah, it's also deserving of reward. So Mele, same thing over here. Right? The Torah was trying to teach us, when a person's traveling, the same thing. Okay, I'm traveling to this certain place. So if I go here, there, but I never reach that place, meaningless. However, since this was Ruchnias thing of traveling, they're not just traveling around in the Midbar, going on a teul, right? They're going towards Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, each stop along the way, it's part of the hachana for the mitzvah. So it's not just getting there to Eretz Yisrael, it's also important. But even if they wouldn't, just the etzem traveling al pi Hashem, since it's Ruchnias, that's also something chasha. A different angle, the Divrei Shaul says, Sholim Eshiv, he says that there. Why did the Torah go into great detail, mention all the different places where they encamp? Because there's an Isser, the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim after we left. As it says in the Pasuk, in Shoftim, Hashem Amar Lechem, Lo Tosifun Lashuv B'derech HaZeor. So some say that. What does that mean? It means we're not allowed to go back, but some go back to Mitzrayim, it's okay. You just can't go back the exact same way as Klal Yisrael left. In other words, if you follow their footsteps, how they left Mitzrayim and came to Eretz Yisrael, you can't follow it back to Mitzrayim. Okay, Mimele says it's very simple. That's why we have to know exactly their journey. They went from this place to that place, to this place to that place, so that we know what the Isser is. The Isser is reverting, going back the other way. So I gotta know which way they went, so I know what the Isser is to go back. Which they say, Agav explains why we see a number, including the Rambam, they lived in Mitzrayim. So, I have to go back to Mitzrayim. So going, this is very good. Not that nothing us are going to Mitzrayim. It's just following back the way the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Okay. Right. Pasuk says, Periklam and Gimel Pasuk Beis, Veichtov Moshe es Motzeim Lemaseihem al Pi Hashem. And Moshe wrote their goings forth, right, the Motzeim Lemaseihem, according to their journeys, al Pi Hashem. Ve'eilem Maseihem Lemotzeihem. Here the Torah writes it backwards. And these are the journeys according to their goings forth. So what is it? Is it their goings forth according to their journeys, or their journeys according to their going forth? The Torah changes it around. So the Magi Midubna answers this with a mashal, as usual. Says that there was once a husband who lost his wife, and he had one boy, and he remarried, as is the case sometimes. The stepmother doesn't get along with her stepson, and in this mashal, that's what happened. And they didn't get along, and the son was going through Gehenna, you know, with his stepmother, and the father knew it, but knew, you know, it's his wife. So one day, you know, the boy was already older, and he found a good shidduch for him. So the girl's from this other town, and he says, oh, this is you know, wonderful shidduch. So what happened? The day of the chasna arrives, and the boy is leaving the house and traveling to this other town to get married to this girl that his father set him up with. The whole way, he's, you know, can't, he says, how far did we, you know, how long has it been since we left our house? You know, we've gone how long so far? An hour? How long have we been now? 2 hours past our house? Whatever. The father, on the other hand, he was looking towards how much time is left. You know, another you know, hour till we get there. Another 45 minutes till we get there. So what's the difference? Says the son, he didn't know what he's getting himself into, because he didn't know who this woman is about to get married to. His father set it up. So the ikkar by him was just to get away from the house, you know, his stepmother. That's the ikkar by him. So therefore, he was like, how much have we gone so far away? How much are we counting the, you know, getting away? Because that was important. The father, on the other hand, he set up the shidduch. He knew it was a good shidduch, whatever. So he was looking forward to how long is left till we get there. That was the father. Amemele says the same thing over here. That Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and he knew where he was taking us, to a place which is very good. One of the Matanas Tovos, right? Eretz Yisrael. He knew he was taking it to a very good place. So, as the passage begins, right, as we said, V'chto Moshed Motzaehem L'Maseihem Al Pi Hashem. The Iker was the L'Maseihem, where they're going towards, as it says, Al Pi Hashem. Because since it was Al Pi Hashem, Hashem knew where he was taking them, so the Iker is L'Maseihem, where they're going to. Because that's Hashem knew was a good place. However, with Klal Yisrael, they didn't know what they're getting themselves into. All they knew was Baruch Hashem. At least we left this wicked Mitzrayim. So Meile, by them, Be'ela Maseim leMotzeihem. By them, the Ikkar was the Motzeihem, the leaving. You know, Baruch Hashem, we're out of Mitzrayim. Where we're going to, we don't know. Hashem says it's good, hopefully. But what they knew was one thing. At least we're getting away from Mitzrayim. The pasuk says, "Ve'elchu derech shloshes yamim b'midbar esam v'yachanu b'mara." The Gemara says in Bechoras that the Talmidim of Rebbe, Rabbeinu Akadosh, asked the Rebbe, he says, "Why is this place called Mara? Meaning, why, you know, such a bitter name, you know, Mara? Why not call it Metuka?" Right now, why was it called? Well, what happened over there? Mara. That's when they arrived at Mara, they encamped there. The waters were bitter, and then Moshe Rabbeinu threw this bitter piece of wood in there, and the waters turned sweet. The miracle happened, etc. So anyway, so they said, but why name the place Mara? Name it Metuka. It's a nicer name. It's sweet. So he answered them, Lezichron Anes. In order to remember the Nes. So Ben Ish Chai asks, okay, so what was the Nes? The waters were bitter and they turned sweet. So it doesn't really answer the question. You know, you're calling it Mara to, you know, remember the Nes. Call it Matuka to remember the Nes. So the waters turned sweet. You know, think the waters were bitter. You're calling it Mara because the waters are bitter. Call it sweet because the waters turned sweet. So he answers very simply. He says, because in order to get the point across, is to remember the Nes, if we would call it Metuka, then now the waters are sweet, right? So if somebody takes the water and says, oh, I know why this place is called Metuka, sweet. Why? Because the waters are very sweet here. And that's the end of that. Not going to know the Nes. However, if it's called Mara, so then the person takes the water and says, wait a minute, the waters here are so sweet. Why in the world would they call this place Mara if it's such sweet water? Something's fishy over here. Must be that it was once bitter and it turned sweet, and therefore that brings to mind the Nes, and therefore, as the Rebbe said, it was Zichron Nes. Okay. It says in the Pasuk, when it describes the division of the land, Eretz Yisrael, it says, El Asher Yetzei Lo Shama Hagoral Lo Yeh. So the place comes out in the goral, in the lots, when they chose a lot, that lo yeh, that will belong to him. So the Rashi points out over here that he says this is a mikre katsar huze. Says it's a short, it's a missing word here in the pasuk. Right? It should have said really el makom asher yitzei lo shama goro lo yeh. Right? The word makom is missing. So why doesn't it say it? This is el asher yitzei lo. It should have said the makom asher yitzei lo. The place that comes out, that'll be his. Not that comes out, that'll be his. It's missing the word makom. So Divrei Shaul is very nice. Name of Rav Tzvi Elimelech. He says that the reason why the word, it's not the stum left out, the reason why the word makom is left out. Why? Because the Chazal say in Gittin, that the Navi calls Eretz Yisrael Eretz Tzvi. Right? The land of deer, whatever. Now why? It says because a tzvi, if you were to flay, take off its skin, right, basar's not machzik its or. You wouldn't be able to put the skin back on. So too, Eretz Yisrael, as is, it can't hold the people that live there, except when Klal Yisrael are there, then miraculously it opens up, and then it can hold all the people. Amemele says very nice. That's why it doesn't say the word over here, the makom asher yetzei lo hagara. Why? Because before Klal Yisrael settled in it, there was no makom. It was all like mekupal. It was all like folded up, and it wasn't because can't machzik. It can't hold the people. So therefore, it wasn't a makom yet. That's why it didn't say makom. Only afterwards, Klal Yisrael settled, then it became a makom. Amemele, the word makom, says this left there. Okay, next, Torah describes the union of the Ari Mikla. It says, "V'nas shama rotzeach maka nefesh bishgaga." It's an unbelievable word from Aaron Kotler this year. He says, "Why do we find that Rosh Yeshivas have this Xeris gullus on them, you know? They have to, we see Rashi was constantly traveling from here to there, they go to America, go to Europe, go all kinds of places, raising money for the yeshivas. You know, why is that the case? You know, you don't find, again, Lahavdil Elaf Havdalas, university deans, going around all over the world, raising money for universities, whatever, the money seems to come in. But by Rosh Yeshivas, these poor guys, they don't want to sit there and learn, and they have to go from place to place. He said an unbelievable part. He says that the reason is that it could be that sometimes Rosh Hashiva, what does he do? He's teaching the Bachrim Torah. Could be inadvertently, Bishoge, he may be, in order to give Musar or whatever to a certain Bachar, he may be embarrassed him. He didn't say the Musar exactly the right way or whatever, and embarrassed him. And we know that to embarrass somebody, that's like Shlichas Damim. But of course, he didn't mean it. It was a Shogeg. So just like somebody who kills B'Shogeg has a Gzeres Galus, so too, Rosh Yeshiva, since he's teaching Bachram the whole time, could be inadvertently B'Shogeg maybe didn't put the Musar in the right spot and a little bit embarrassed the Bachar a little bit. As a result, he has to go in Galus to Mechaper for the Kain Shvichas Dam. Unbelievable. I saw the Peleoid says, in the Erech Galus, that he says that Stamazai, when a person, any person goes into, so to speak, Galus, he should daven that when he's going from place to place, that it be considered like he's going into Galus, there should be a kapara for him. So it doesn't have to be, Dafka Rosh Yeshiva, it has to be someone who kills Rahman al-Salam al-Shogi. Any one of us, right? Says people, somebody's have to move, Some people that they go from, they live in this house, they move to that house, in this city, that city, whatever. They keep moving around. And so he says that anytime you move around, consider it like galus. It's a shtickl, it could be a kapara. If you have kavana for that, then you should daven it. That there should be this galus should be a kapara from like galus is. Right? Where do we learn it from? We learn it from sukkahs. Right? We go out of the house and go into the sukkah. One of the midrashim say it's like galus. It's a kapara of galus. And he says it could be something even simpler than that. This going to shul. You leave your home, you go to another place, you go to the shul, and it's cold, it's hot, or whatever the case might be. But b'chol zot, could be late at night, whatever. And you get up and you go, and it's difficult, but there should be a kapara. There should be, this is galus. Should be a kapara for me. It's another interesting thing they bring down. You know, we said about the Rashivas going around and collecting. So there's a Maisa with the Chavetz Chaim. I also heard it with the Chazon Ish as well. Same Maisa, but this year I saw it in the name of the Chavetz Chaim, that there were two shlichim that came to Radin to collect money. And one of them was collecting, you know, for yeshivas, whatever, in Yerushalayim, or etc. And the other one was came for collecting for Keren Kayemet, you know, for the trees or whatever in Israel. I don't know. Anyways, the one that was collecting for the trees, chick-chack, you know, a couple of days, got all his money, goodbye, he's gone. Fine, no problem. And the one's collecting for the Torah institutions in Yerushalayim. He's going from door to door, this one, that, collecting a little here, a little there. He could, so he came to Chavetz Chaim and said, I don't understand, right? When, like, going crazy just to make a, you know, a few bucks. And this other guy collecting for Keren Kayemet, you know, within a day or two, he's got all his money and he's off. Says, so what's pshat? So I heard name of Chazon Ish, and he was asked about the universities. We said the universities, they got tons of money. You know, you go to America, these places, colleges, there are millions and millions of dollars they have. Whereas yeshivas, we know, they're, you know. So why is it? So explain as follows: that says with the Torah tells us, with Chazal learn out, that you have to put signs up to for the Ari Miklat that somebody killed Bishogeg can quickly get to the Ari Miklat. So they put up signs, you know, with little arrows, you know, his direction Ari Miklat here, how many kilometers, you know. Whereas, so they ask, why aren't there signs to the Beis HaMikdash for the Oli Regali? I mean, is it less important to come Aliyah L'Regel, go to Yerushalayim? Right? There should be signs how to get to Yerushalayim, that people come to Aliyah L'Regel. Why are there, is a mitzvah to have signs for the, someone's killed Bishogeg and not signs to go to Aliyah L'Regel? So says Chavetz Chaim, the difference is that when it comes to killing Bishogeg, we dafka want signs. We want the guy to get there quick as possible and not have to spread the word of his whole thing about killing. You know what's going to happen? He knocks on the door. You know, a kid answers the door. He says, yeah. He says, hey, can you tell me to get an Ari Mikla? He says, well, what's that? He says, oh, but somebody's here. You know, he goes to the door and he says, yeah, what is it? He says, how do I get the Ari Miklat quick? You know, I'm in a rush. This guy's running after me. You know, can you tell me how to get the Ari Miklat? So he goes, yeah, I think you go over there. But go and then, somewhere over there and ask the guy that were there and ask him, somewhere down there, you know, Yashar, and then ask, you know. Anyway, so then the son's like, well, what was this? He goes, oh, well, this guy killed somebody. And then he goes, so this whole, Hashem wanted to, you know, limit the amount of speech about all this about killing and the manslaughter, you know. So therefore, little is spoken about the better. Signs, quickly the guy gets it. However, when it comes to Torah, lefech, let somebody come. And says, how do I get to Yerushalayim? Knock on the door and says, Abba, what does this guy want? Oh, he wants to go to Yerushalayim. Why is he going to Yerushalayim? He wants to go to Yerushalayim because they're, you know, the Makom of Torah and etc. and they bring korbanas and spread the word, right? So therefore, the more you know, if you put up signs, people get there quickly. The word's not spread as much. Duff gets no signs, so people have to ask and talk about it. And the more you talk about it, you're spreading Torah. Says Meil, the same thing over here. He says Hashem's not interested he's interested in trees, you know, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, but Keren Kayam, you know, with all due respect, can't compare it to Torah, you know, or universities for sure, right? But that's therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says universities fine, let them get their money here, Gemara. We don't want to spread the word. Who cares about them, right? But Torah, I want to spread the word, and therefore that's why Hashem makes it difficult. So Rosh Hashivas have to go knocking on doors. What am I collecting for? Torah? Yeah, what's Torah? And then in order to spread Torah. Therefore, that's why, fortunately, we have that these Rashivas have to go from place to place. Okay, next. Right, it says, V'acharei mos ha-kohen ha-gadol yashuva ratzeach al eretz achuzaso. So the Torah tells us that the person that killed Bishogeg remains in the Ir Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So what's the reason, what's the connection between the death of the Kohen Gadol and the person leaving Ari Mikla? Why dafka is it the death of the Kohen Gadol that leads to the freedom of this person? So, okay, Gemara discusses, but the Rambam says the Mori Nevuchim, he says that, very interesting idea, he says there's a saying that Saras Rabim Chetzi Nechama, which means what? That if a person is has Saras, it's difficult, but if he sees his friend as in the same boat, he also has Saras, so it makes it a little bit easier. Saras Rabim Chetzi Nechama. It's a little bit of Nechama that somebody else is suffering him as well. Menele, he says, that's what's going on over here. We have this, the person, you know, he killed Bishogeg, and he runs to the Ir Miklat. Why? Because he, the Goel Adam, the Mishpacha, the one who was killed, you know, is gonna, you know, is after him. So he has to go to safe haven. So he goes to the Ir Miklat. So how, why did he stay till the death of Kohen Gadol? Because until then, the family's all upset, and they're all, you know, heated up about, oh, how can they kill our, you know, brother or whatever. But once the Kohen Gadol dies, so now, all of a sudden, they say, hey, we're not the only one that lost somebody. We know Klal Yisrael lost somebody, right? The Kohen Gadol, the great Kohen Gadol died, so Mele, Saras Rabim, Chetzi Nechama. So Mele, they're not as, you know, heated up anymore, because they say, hey, we're not the only one that lost somebody. The Kohen Gadol is lost to everybody. Mele, that cools them down a little bit. So now it's okay for the Ratzeach to leave your mikla, because the Goel Adam, the Mishpacha is not as heated up. Okay, one last idea. The Mishnah says in Makos, Lefikach imoseyam shel kohanim maspek lehem michya uksus kedei shelo yispalel al b'neim shiyamusu. So the Gemara tells us that the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, since we just said the freedom of the people near Mirag is totally dependent upon the death of the Kohen Gadol, so the mothers of the Kohen Gadol used to bring food to the people there. They said, you know, Kil, don't, please don't, you know, daven for the death of my son. So the Bali Musar say, we see from here the koach of tefillah, right? Because who's davening? What are they davening? Here we have a guy that's a murderer. Okay, albeit Bishogeg, but he's still a murderer, and that's why he's in the Ir Miklat for. And what is he davening for? That the Kohen Gadol should die. So you think, well, let him daven, who cares? Like, oh, Hashem's going to listen to such tefillas. He wants that the Kohen Gadol die? And who? And from who? Is Pik Tzadik's davening for it? No, there's a Ratzayat's davening for this, for the death of the Kohen Gadol. So you think, yeah, who cares? But we see not that way. The fact that the mothers have mashma, that if they wouldn't give these gifts to these people, wouldn't give them these things, then their tefillahs would maybe be accepted. So we see here the power of tefillah. It's an interesting maisa. The sister of the Chazon Ish was later to be the wife of the Stipler. That when she was little, she was 2 years old, she was very sick, very ill. And to such a degree that she was in a coma, whatever. She lost consciousness, and it got to the point where that was it. The Chevra Kedisha came, and they put her on the floor. They lit candles around her head, and they started. That's it. They're saying Mishnayos Lili Nishmata. Basically, that's it. The Chazon Ish, though, her brother didn't take no as an answer. And he just kept davening and davening and davening and davening until, as we know, it worked. And it says, "Afilu cheref chada munachas al tzavaro shel dam." You know, it shouldn't. Yisyasumi arachamim. And Chazon Ish didn't stop, and I don't care. And he kept davening, and sure enough, his sister got better, and later, as we said, to be the wife of the Stipler. So end with the Maisa in this Indian of. Not to be misyashmin or rachamim. There was this yid from Yerushalayim. He was visiting England, Manchester, and he goes to a shul. He sees this older man saying kaddish, but he was saying he's never in his life saw somebody saying kaddish with such hislab. It's like, wow, I'm really getting into it. He never saw anybody say kaddish like this before, so he was really, you know, taken aback. And he asked some of the people in the Kahal after, because I never heard such a Kaddish like that. What was the who? So they said, you know, he's been saying the Kaddish like this for years. And so why? He said, I don't know. We never somehow, you know, we're so used to it, you know. So he goes, I got to find out. So he approaches the fellow and he says, you know, I've never seen somebody say Kaddish with such excitement and emotion. Can you tell me, you know, why? So he says, fine. He says, I'll tell you. He says, I'm a survivor of the Holocaust. He says, and I was in a number of death camps, and eventually got to the point where, you know, well, throughout the war, when I was in these death camps, I felt that, you know, it's a time to mechazik in emuna, right? Mechazik in emuna. This is it. You know, if not now, when? And I worked on tremendously hard on mechaziking my emuna, and ad kedei kach that, you know, I used to always say Yeshua Hashem keherafayin. You know, every time somebody would say, oh, that's it, what's going to be? I would always would say Yeshua Hashem. So much so that they actually gave me a nickname. They used to call me Yeshua Hashem. Because I used to always say that, Yeshua Hashem keherafayin, Yeshua Hashem, and they asked so many times that they used to call me Yeshua Hashem. Anyways, it got to the point where basically that was seemed like this was going to be it, you know, after all. And the Nazis, they put us, the group that I was with, they put us in the cell, and which was the stepping stone for the to be gassed, to go to the gas chambers. In other words, they were gassing these groups of people, and we were next. And they put us in this like cell or whatever for the time being, and then as soon as the group in front of us, you know, gets they kill them, then comes our turn. So the people in the cell were turning to me and said, now what? You know, you're always saying, you know, oh, emuna, 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 now what? So he said, I don't care. Yeshua Hashem care. Fine. You know, afilu care chadam unachas, I don't care. They said, ah, come on. It's ridiculous. We're in the cell. That's it. We're all going to the gas chambers in a few minutes. What are you saying? He says, I don't know. I can't explain it. But still, you know, Yeshua Hashem care. Fine. Okay, fine. So there was a Nazi guard that was guarding their cell. And a piece of paper flew out of his pocket. He had a piece of paper and it fell out of his pocket. So then so he wanted to, you know, mashpil, you know. So he happened to turn to me and he said, Jew, pick up that piece of paper for me. Just you know. So, okay, I knew I had to, or people would, you know, shoot me on the spot. So, fine, so. But the wind was a little like windy, and the wind kind of blew the paper a little bit away. So, in order for me to pick up the piece of paper, he said I had to like leave the cell and, you know, just to, you know, to pick up the paper. But the Nazi didn't mind, you know, he was right in front of me. I couldn't do anything, you know, it was right there. So he said, you know, pick up the paper. So I, you know, walked out a couple steps out of the cell or whatever, and I'm bending down to pick up the paper. And wouldn't you know it, exactly at that point, when I'm going to pick up the paper, the cell door all of a sudden automatically closes, boom, behind me, right? And I'm picking up this paper, and the Nazi guard sees this, that the door is like closing, and I'm not inside the cell with everybody. So he's like, you know, pushing me in, you know, trying to get me in, but it was too late because the door is already closed, and he couldn't get me in. So I saw that this was my opportunity, and I picked up my legs and just ran for my life, and I escaped. I ran to a nearby forest, and I survived. He says, but I remember, just as I was, you know, this happened, and the doors were closing, everybody, you know, behind, you know, my friends were looking at me, and they said, please, don't forget us. Please say Kaddish for us. Say Kaddish for us. And those were the last words of my friend when I ran away. So he says, ever since then, you know, I took it upon myself to say Kaddish for them every day. And that's my Kaddish with Hislavas for these people I left behind in the cell. Yeshua Hashem Kerefayin should also see the end of our Gullus, and the Yeshua Hashem should come speedily in our days with a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bimhera V'Yameinu.